Welcome to another episode of SME Funding. My name is Lynette Nduli and I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Innate Investment Solutions. And as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Kumaran Padayachi of Spartan. And today we have a special guest in studio, another family member of the Business Day TV family, Mona Lisa Sam. Mona Lisa Sam is also the CEO of Dungwa Retail Holdings, which is a specialist retail business development firm based right here in South Africa. And she often offers expert tips to our viewers at home on that particular sector, as well as the opportunities and how to get around the obstacles and challenges in that space. Welcome, Mona Lisa.
Thank you, Lynette. Thank you for having me, Kumaran and Lynette.
Thank you very much. So, Mona Lisa, today we'd like to discuss the peculiarities as well as the things that businesses in the retail space need to be aware of, particularly when they go for all-important funding to grow, to start, to expand not only their product offerings, but also the infrastructure that is required in the retail space. And we'd like for you just to give us an overview of retail in South Africa and what you've seen as you go about the day-to-day operations of your business.
Okay, so retail in the South African context is largely defined by shopping centers. Our retail sector in South Africa is the most advanced on the continent, being 30 years old, and has, we have the top six number in the world of shopping centers in the country. And that's been as a result of developments and our urbanization and our change in customer demographics as well in terms of how we're moving. But retail for the viewers is, it's very simple in their minds, because we interact with retail every day. Mm-hmm. We go to shops, we buy something, we transact. And so in their minds, it's quite simplistic. But there's very many definitions. You have your big box retailers. So those are your large established retailers who have more than one establishment in very many locations. So your Pick and Pay, for example, your Pick and Pay hypermarket. Am I allowed to mention brands? Sorry.
You can, no problem. but let me ask you, for SMEs, for audience being SMEs, give me some examples of SME type of retail businesses.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily retail exists in a shopping center, right?
No, of course. Yes. Right. I was just giving context of what most retail businesses aim for.
Sure.
They aim for that cream of the crop is be having a big box. So typically small retailers would be very informal. So they've identified stock, they've identified a market, and they sell it in all sorts of different ways. They can sell it out of their boot, they can sell it to what is now a trending pop-up shop. So they'll have different locations pop up every time. Online is also a big one as well, where you have your stock and you obviously have an online platform where people can then purchase through the system on your site, as well as just having products that you kind of develop for. So that's customization. That's another form of retail where people curate certain things on Instagram, on Facebook, and they test the market in that way to say, should I buy more of that? Okay. So those are the typical small retailers that we've seen.
And can you lay out for especially with your expertise, Mona Lisa, the typical category of needs that a SME retailer would need funding for?
Okay.
What are the kind of trigger points in the different things?
So first and foremost, stock, because without a product, you have nothing to sell. That is typically what, let's call it an informal retailer, and an informal being you're not in a shopping center. Mm. So you need funding for stock. You need funding for marketing. The cost of acquiring your customer is a cost, your branding, your publicity, because you must remember you're competing against established retailers who most of the time have the product that you have at a lower price. So there has to be a differentiator, and that's what you've got to communicate in your, and that is a cost. Mm. If you are going to go into a shopping center, so you found a space, you found a location, you need funding for a deposit for the lease agreement that the landlord will want a deposit from you, as well as funding for the infrastructure. Retail is very specialized, so shop fitters are far and few between, and so their prices tend to be higher than what you would find your average carpenter to fulfill your store. So for that, and of course the stock, you've got to find the stock and the staff.
What about break-even period, so the burn period? So let's say someone opens up a retail business, whether in a shopping mall or on a street side thing, and surely they're not going to be up and running in terms of profitability, cash flow, and normal profit.
No, absolutely.
That period could be, I don't know, is there a norm?
Typically, it could take up to break even, on average, 3 years.
Is there Santa Claus that pays for those funding fees for that, right?
The Santa Claus, that period between, you know, starting and break even mm-hmm. is the biggest risk. And that's why most small businesses cannot secure funding, because banks and investors recognize that as the biggest risk period, because it's based on assumptions. It's based on, you've said we're going to sell so many units and so forth. So most of the businesses that I interact with, it's self-funded, from friends, from savings, from selling their homes and so forth, just to be able to ride that wave. I say 3 years, some businesses have broken even within 6 months, depending on how aggressive they've been in their marketing as well.
So once you start going into the world then of self-funding, and Mona Lisa, you've obviously just pinpointed all of those different sources of it, and you've said there's sort of a 3 year break where you've got to be doing that for yourself. What then becomes the next series of needs that then necessitates that you go out to a very formalized structure or institutions now to say, I need to fund these specific things? Because in that 3 years, you haven't only funded your own survival, but you've now funded a lot of the things that you would have needed from a funder in the first instance. What are you looking for next?
So next, you're looking for expansion, expansion funding. I always say, you know, in terms of the clients that I work with, one store, you're not in retail. Retail is about volumes. It's about distributing to many channels, whether it be online or shops or salespeople that you have all around the country. And so that expansion phase is what you need funding for. You may need another store. You may need more stock. You may need more staff. You may need more marketing to obviously expand your business. But what is great about having survived, and I use that word, you know, purposefully, because it's surviving. So you probably haven't been earning a salary, but you're able to prove to your investor and your funder that there's cash flow in the business. And this is what I want to emphasize. In retail, cash is king. The profit and loss, and I'm taking an assumption that you've educated your viewers on all these terminology, the profit and loss is only a reflection of where you've been and what you can achieve. But the cash flow says that you can sustain a certain amount of income or sales to be able to be in business. And that's what an investor needs to understand.
We talked about this one thing as a funder, Spartan being a funder, we get scared about on retail. So we do fund retail, but it is the seasonality.
Yeah.
So now after you've broken even and you're trading, okay, have you done your 6 months or 3 years or whatever, now you still got the seasonality.
Yeah.
Isn't there periods of loss-making and cash flow deficit?
Absolutely. Especially if you take, for example, restaurant business. I mean, that's a retail sector. Restaurants are very seasonal in terms of when consumers are able to visit them and want to spend. So there will be that period in which you're making far less than you would have in your high season. And that's what an investor needs to understand. Your cash flow can sustain those down periods.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back on this episode of SME Funding, I want Mona Lisa and Kumaran to open up a bit more about more of the pitfalls and the challenges that entrepreneurs in the retail space face, particularly as they begin to look at funding and financing their expansion. We'll be right back. Welcome back to SME Funding, and today we're focusing on the retail sector, and more importantly, at which stage retail businesses need to begin to seek funding, and what are some of the pitfalls and challenges that they may face. So before the break, Mona Lisa, you were beginning to paint a picture of some of the things that we need to be aware of. And I know that you've got a very healthy list of the pitfalls that often entrepreneurs in the retail space are completely blindsided by. And they pick up a lot of these issues and challenges when they need cash and when they need capital to now finance their expansion as well as their growth. Please continue with certain of the thoughts that you have.
So the most obvious one, you know, in my view, is that the retail sector is very dynamic, and that's as a function of customers ever changing. Particularly South African customers are becoming more exposed, more informed, so they're becoming a lot more demanding. That then increases another dynamic, or your exposure to another dynamic, which is competition. So as a small retailer, you're competing against established retailers who are able to pitch at a better price because of their supply chains. So a lot of them own their manufacturers, and therefore their pricing is something that you are going to have a very tough time competing against, based on how much you've spent on your stock. The other thing that blindsides, I think, retailers is that, or small businesses, a lot of them don't have previous experience. We take it for granted because we interact with retail that we know it. Mm. But there's a science to it. There's a science in deciding, do I buy 12 of an item or 6? Because if you buy 12, you're going to get a discount. But now when you're sitting with 11 that is not turning into cash, is now your big problem. And please note, your supplier wants the money for the full 12 at the end of the month. So they are now your typical issues, and even if you mark them down, you will still make a loss. Retail also is vulnerable to high staff turnover. It is the wages are quite low, and a lot of the staff don't have aspirations or see a future. You know, am I going to be a cashier for all my life? So they will move for 100 rand. That will impact your business because you're continually changing staff and so forth. And also
loyalty, who
theft,
knows about the products, shrinkage,
and solve all
in
of
business.
These things,
yeah.
Shrinkages and acquiring the customer, I think, is your biggest. We take it for granted. And I think most small businesses go into retail because 5 of their friends like their product. Your friends will like your product. They like you. Mm. So they will say, yes, it's lovely. You've got to now convince another 10,000 people that this is the product. So those are the typical challenges, and that's what is the high risk aspect that bankers and investors fundamentally understand about retail.
So in all that you said now in this last bit, it falls into two categories, right? The last category is marketing. Mm. It seems to be an ongoing, enduring investment.
Absolutely.
No one funds that, really.
That's right.
And that first part of what you went through, many things, was almost that you need money for buffer. We used to call it F-up money, right? The things that will go wrong, because there's a lot of things that are going to go wrong.
It's a lot of things.
So that's...
That's a lot of... And also what I think is, you know, becoming more dynamic in the funding needs is that typically the loan or investor resources are long-term, you know.
Yes.
So you may only need, in a retail environment, you may only need money for 12 months or 6 months during a down period.
Yes.
And now you're bonded to a 5-year loan. What does that do to your cash flow for those
Will
5 years?
Will you even be in business in 5 years, selling the same thing in 5 years? And
so this is doom and gloom. I mean, let's try and put a positive spin to it, right? Let's go into some solutions.
Positive, yep. Yeah.
And let's start touching onto that. And what are some of the things that the retail entrepreneur, the retail SME, can be doing to mitigate, reduce some of this funding requirements, or be more creative in sourcing that?
So I think first, you know, the funding opportunity or funding's successes I've seen is an investor being convinced of your feasibility. And I think a lot of small retailers do not take the time to really get into the business plan and whether the feasibility, what you say, because I mean, we spoke off camera that some businesses will post something on Facebook, they'll get 1,000 likes, but only 10 customers. So it's about saying, is this market feasible? Mm. Are you able to provide it at the right price at the time that they want it? And that's the science about it. The other things that they could start to do, I think, is, or what I've seen work, is it's difficult, but self-funding, I think, is probably the better route. It's harder to convince your family, but that is probably...
There's no choice.
There's no choice. I would also, again, I mentioned that I would steer away from long-term funding. Look for an investor that is going to give you money for a period of time.
Mm.
So you need money for stock, which you are projecting to sell within 6 months, and you've got a marketing plan and all the experts that are going to support you to turn that around so that you can pay it back within 6 months. You don't need a five-year loan. When you are in business, some of the things that I've seen get retailers stuck is when they use credit cards to finance their businesses. It becomes...
What does that mean?
As a personal, I have a credit card and I have 100,000 rand in my credit card facility, and I use that to fund the business. That's going to be tricky down the line. Yes, you may have better minimum payment terms, but the interest is going to kill you. You can use credit cards to float the business. So let's say you are wanting to pay a supplier. On the day that the invoice is due, you pay them using a credit card. And when the payment is due 30 days later, you pay all of it back. So you've bought yourself an extra 3 months, you know, to do certain things within that time. That is where credit cards are positive, not to finance a business. Because once you start defaulting, you affect your credit record for your suppliers, and any future banks in particular are going to, you know, look at
that. So you, the business, the credit card, and your suppliers are all going down if you do that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, after the break, we're going to continue talking about solutions, but more importantly, also giving you hints and tips of how to navigate the world of retail, as well as what we're now finding is a very limited supply of financiers who are willing to invest in this particular market. Welcome back to SME Funding. So today our guest, Mona Lisa Sam of Dunga Retail Holdings, is breaking down some of the opportunities as well as the alternatives that are available to retail entrepreneurs, particularly in a very tight market when it comes to funding and financing expansion in that particular sector. So Mona Lisa, let's continue and talking about the solutions. Before the break, you were just showing us how to use the business and as well as the tools that are personally available to you to float yourself as opposed to finance. Let's now just talk about some of the margins that a retail entrepreneur needs to look at and how those can be used for and against you in this particular context.
So, you know, depending on which sector of retail you're in, because remember, as a small retail, you can't outprice yourself of the market. And so part of, you know, what we've seen is that typically 40 to 50% is what you can mark up, but depending on how much you acquired it for. Because remember, as a small business, your negotiating terms versus an established retailer are much more, you're on the back foot from the get-go. And so they will, a supplier typically wants to push volumes, which in the beginning you might not be able What I typically or advise, it's about those costs that you need to keep down. And one of those costs, unfortunately, is not paying yourself a salary. If you are projecting to pay yourself a salary, you're putting yourself, you know, your costs are going up, number one. Number two, if you cannot pay yourself a salary or you cannot afford, and by that I mean you won't be able to survive, don't do it. It's as simple as that. Don't do it until you are comfortable that you can cover yourself, because you want to keep the costs as down as much as possible. Working with experienced professionals is obviously expensive, but there's lots of tools, you know, for example, us, who are able to give you advice that will, you know, typically help you pay, you know, reduce your school fees as in costs. So it's about, I think, you know, with small retailers, a lot of, you know, you take a fashion retailer, great concepts, great designs, but the cost of acquiring the material, the labor, is what most of the time sets them apart. So you've got to look at innovative ways about how to keep your costs down.
When Lisa, you talk about the margins, right? And earlier on you mentioned about the cost of funding with the margins. So there's expensive cost of funding, like if you use your credit card to self-fund, credit card rates are high. It's not meant to be used as a medium-term funding. That's going to erode your margins into a lot. So once you get a bit of a cash float, you know, there's some caution to be advised. Yes. Can you talk about that?
So you want to understand what are the better ways to fund at a cheaper rate?
Well, no, I want to talk about some of the caution, because there's the credit card and others that you can borrow from at very high interest rates. That's going to eat into your margin. So once you may get the 200,000 rand, it wipes out your cash flow.
Your profit. But so my converse to that is, sometimes it's better to have cash flow than no profit in a retail business, because your cash flow is what you need to continually buy stock. So you may be profit, but high profits don't necessarily mean that you have high cash flow. And that's what a funder wants to look at, that you can. But it, to answer your question, some of the things I would caution, I think because the retail, and I've seen this, retail situation becomes so desperate. You know, there are, let's say you're in a shopping center, some tips. The landlords will scream at this, but there's always that opportunity to go and renegotiate, for example, your rental, because it's typically a fixed cost and you can project it, but if you can reduce it for a period of time, that will help you. Those are some of the tips that I would say go look at. Stay away from loan shark type funding opportunities, because those are going to be expensive for you in the long run. So I think in terms of, yes, profitability is good, but cash is the bigger win in retail and is going to convince your investors that this business can run and can pay us back versus profitability, because you may have been profitable over the December period like all other retailers, but come Jan, Feb, March, you're in the down again, you know. So cash flow is where.
So Mona Lisa, there's definitely an opportunity here for a specialist retail fund that looks at the specialized financing need of retailers, taking into account some of the risks and the gaps that you have definitely highlighted for us here today. Well, Kamaran, your tip of the week, please, as we wind down the show.
You know, my reflection on what we've discussed for this episode about retail is two things stand out for me. And the one is that there's a lot more that is unpredictable and can go wrong. So you need a lot more buffer money for a retail business than versus another business.
Absolutely.
Right? So there's this concept of buffer money. And also there's funding needed for the long road.
Yes.
Okay. So my tip for an SME retail business is to consider all those things that can go wrong, it's very hard, and consider the long road and ensure that you secure as much of that funding up front. I would see there's a risk that if you're trying to get the funding as you go, this is a very risky venture.
Yeah.
So it's very different from a non-retail business. So see the long road and get as much of the funding up front as you can.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that.
All right. So thank you very much to our guest, Mona Lisa Sam, of Dunga Retail Holdings, to Kamaran for that tip of the week. And to our viewers at home, we certainly hope that you learned something special, particularly if you're trying to grow a retail concern, and particularly if you've housed it on the different platforms that we spoke about today. I loved that tip that Mona Lisa made, that 1,000 likes doesn't translate to 1,000 sales. And those are just some of the things that we've got to start to look at and understand about how we build them into our business models. If you'd like to share your questions as well as your concerns, please email us on smefunding@bdtv.co.za or follow this conversation at funding_SME on Twitter. And if you're ready for funding, or perhaps you've successfully managed to raise some funding to expand your retail concern, we'd love to hear about it. And who knows, you might be back on the SME Funding couch to join us. Also catch certain of these episodes on SME Funding on YouTube. And you're also welcome to follow them on the Business Day TV website. We look forward to you joining us again on SME Funding. And until next time, thank you very much.